today on Real Radio.
You want to go to a lively church? Go find a church that the people know that they are wretched sinners saved by the grace of God, and now they are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they're no longer victims of Satan or this world. They've been set free. That's where you want to go.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 4, continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Even though we find the Apostle Peter getting older, he's living a more resilient and unwavering kind of faith. Many, of course, today are twisting the truth about Jesus and his ministry here on earth, and that's why Peter's letter is so important. Knowing what's true and what's false is really at the heart of Peter's letter. So today, on day one of this message, Pastor Jack reminds us that as Christians, our identity is in Christ. We're no longer about ourselves or the culture in which we live, but about our urgent mission to preserve and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's God's will that none of us should perish in our sin. And now, in a message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So, church, here we go, thirdly, and I hope this is a blessing to you who are Christians. I hope this is a blessing to you who want to be a Christian. And I also must give it in such a way that to those of you who have no stomach for being a Christian, that you simply understand that. That you simply own that. If you say today, I don't want to be a Christian, fine. It's a free country. Just own it, will you? Just own it, because you will own it. But just own up to it. And it goes this way. Mark it down if you would. Verses 6 through 8 is what you and I really need to know, is that our identity is no longer us. Hey, do you remember that show that was very popular recently? Or maybe it still is. I don't know. It's called This Is Us. And it's about life and all the dynamics of life. Well, guess what? As a Christian, what we're going to be looking at, this is not us. It's what we no longer are in this world. Picking it up in verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm sorry, is that what it says? And turning the cities of San Francisco and Santa Barbara into ashes. Could it read that? Could it read turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? What about New York and Los Angeles? You say, how dare you say that? Listen, are you kidding me? God is saying, hey, everybody, just like I fried Sodom and Gomorrah for what it did, I'm going to fry the world for what it's doing. And there'll be no place, according to the book of Revelation, where the sinner will be able to hide when that happens. Are you aware of that? Yes. And they say, I don't want to hear this. Well, just hang on, because it ends well. Don't leave now. You'll be upset all day. But if you stay, you'll feel better. He says right in the Bible that he turns the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and condemn them to destruction. And you got to stop and ask the question, why? If you don't stop and ask the question, why, then you're going to have an Old Testament bad God concept or theory, making them an example to those who would afterward live ungodly. That's for us. And he delivered righteous Lot, the man Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Verse 8 says, for that righteous man, is that interesting? We wouldn't even know that he is a righteous man except for Peter. None of us really like Lot. When you read the book of Genesis, we would not hang out with Lot because he was compromised. But you know what? When you look at Lot in Genesis through Peter's preaching, you'll have a different understanding of Lot, and you just might find out that your life is very similar to Lot's. So be careful before you criticize them. You know, we need to stop criticizing other believers. I'm finding this out. I'm doing some work with some Christian pastors that I would not preach or teach in their pulpit because I wouldn't want to be associated with what they believe regarding certain things. But I find myself with them, they with me, we with others, fighting for issues regarding our nation's freedom and our ability to preach the gospel or to keep Christian radio on the air. Did you ever think there would be a day that we'd have to fight to keep Christian radio on the air because there are those who want to take the gospel off the airwaves? They say it's offensive. Of course it's offensive. Since when is offensive wrong? Offensive. Truth's offensive. But we live in an interesting time, to say the least. The Bible says that he was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day. We'll see in a moment that that means he exposed himself every day. He got up, he got his cup of coffee, got his bagel, he got on his donkey, he drove to work, and all along the way, pulling up at a stoplight, there are other people around him and their donkeys, and they're cussing, and they're looking at porn on their cell stones, and they're drinking, and all this debauchery taking place. Are you hearing me? Yes. Lot was grieved by the sins that were being conducted right in front of him. The Bible says that he saw that and he heard that. Every day he saw their lawless deeds. So listen, your identity as a Christian is no longer like it once was. The beautiful thing is that now in Christ, we are no longer us. Someone say amen. If you're a Christian today, the power that controls you is not the power of lust, it's not the power of desire, it's not the power of this world, and it's not the power of the media, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to remember that at all times. And we need to live like it, because it is true. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Paul, the apostle, is speaking, and he says, "But now..." This is God he is speaking of, that God now commands all men everywhere to repent. Metanoia, change their minds. 180 degree mind change. Why? Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man, capital M, this is Christ, by Christ whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. What a tremendous statement. Because Christ is risen from the dead, I no longer, Christian, listen, because Christ is risen from the dead, you are no longer held bound by the fleshly demands of this skin. Listen, this skin screams and yells at you constantly. I want, I want, I want. You think we grow up that we leave that childish stuff behind? Have you ever seen little kids? Little kids are both sweet and disgusting at the same time. I want this, mommy, mommy, I want this, I want this. Please, oh, I want this, I want this. Can I have this? Can I have this? It's sickening. You say, no, you can't have it. And then the kid goes into a fit. And that's when that's right then and there, a spanking should take place. Somebody should walk right up and spank the parents for raising a child like that. The parents created that kid. The parents need to tell them, listen to me, I said no, and that's it. And if you bring it up one more time, it's going to cost you. So go put it back. We think if we do that, we're somehow damaging our kids' brain. The Bible says that if we do not discipline our children, they're going to grow up, and it says that they're going to be a reproach to their mother. That's not your identity any longer. And as believers, our flesh does that. Gimme, gimme, what I want, I want, I. And it could be from anything, from the drink to the peek to the touch to the flirt. To the whatever, the flesh. You know when the flesh gets fired up? And don't look at me like you do not know what I'm talking about. Every single one of us deals every day with what has yet to be redeemed. Guess what that is? Look, your mind has been renewed. Your spirit has been redeemed. You're a born again believer. But your flesh ain't born again. Your flesh, man, it's protest every day. I'm sick of this Christian stuff. That's what your hands are saying. Your hands are saying, I want to touch things that I'm not allowed to touch. That's what your hands say. This flesh, oh, I don't want anything rough. I don't want anything uncomfortable. I want it all smooth. I want it all easy. I want it all nice. That's the flesh. And the Bible says that we rage and we war against the flesh and the spirit against the flesh. And we have to bring the flesh under subjection. And look, if you do not turn to this word on a daily basis, your flesh is going to start winning. You're still a Christian, but your flesh begins to win. And then you wind up becoming so compromised and so weak that you might as well be living in Sodom and Gomorrah. So we see under this that in verse 6 that this world is no longer us. Thank God. Regarding our identity, look at the world. It's not our world anymore, is it? It's not our world. Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. The Holy Spirit here immediately draws attention to a contrast. I'm wondering if you're seeing it. And that contrast is between us and them. And without apology. Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, he condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. Immediately, right out of the gate, the Holy Spirit authors here in the Bible that the believer is no longer of this world, but they that are perishing, they do belong to this world. And when he cites Sodom and Gomorrah, you gotta take a big breath just to grasp the possibilities of this. This book that we're holding in our hands, God knew that right now in the 21st century, we'd be studying this book. What he's speaking to us about right here, right now, is applicable now. So I don't care about Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do, because it's here. The spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah has never left. So keep this reality before you. It's the us and the them. Doesn't that sound, oh, that sounds so divisive. Mm-hmm, amen. Oh, that sounds so non-inclusive. Yep, amen. Mm-hmm. Heaven is not, what's the commercial? I just saw it. According to the commercial, I should immediately jump on an airplane and fly to Sandals Resort because it's what? All-inclusive. Heaven's not all-inclusive. Heaven is not as big sandals in the sky. This concerns people. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 8, for we were once darkness. This is an amazing, this is not a misprint. I want you to watch this. Read it with me. For we were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That statement, for you were once darkness, it means that literally our own darkness emanated out of our lives. We concocted sin on our own. We didn't have anyone coaching us. No one went over to us and said, no, listen, this is what you're going to do. This is how you do it. Oh, no. We pushed people away and said, I'm going to do it my way. We were darkness before we met Christ, but now we're light. He's not saying for you were once in darkness. We were the darkness. We were the ones that brought pain to other people's lives. We were the ones that used other people. We were the ones that wounded and injured. Have you and I, listen, you want to be a happy church? I hope you do. And you want to be a holy church? And I hope you do. And you want to be a radical, full of life church? And I hope you do. Here's what you do. You realize that you were once darkness, but now you're light. When you realize that, instead of, I don't know if I like the way that makes me feel. If that's how you think, you will never have joy. You'll never have spiritual success. You'll always be in some spiritual coma until you realize, wow, I once was a stinking, rotten wretch that God delivered. and he put me in the light. And listen, Jesus said it this way, the person who's forgiven much, that person loves much. You wanna go to a lively church? Go find a church that the people know that they are wretched sinners saved by the grace of God, and now they are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they're no longer victims of Satan or this world. They've been set free. That's where you wanna go. Find that church, tell me where it's at, and I'm on my way. I'm going. But I hope it happens here. By the way, if it does, that's called revival. John 15, verse 18. Jesus said, for if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. And yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember that the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. They'll come after you. It's us and them. It's those going to heaven and those going to hell. But we in our emotions, we want to skew the lines. We want gray. We want the gray area. I cannot find anywhere in my Bible gray. Can't find it. So he speaks to us about Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. And you can read this later this afternoon. It's a great read. It's Genesis chapter 19. You can get the details there. And you will want to get the details after I share with you some things. But Genesis 19, God says that's it regarding Sodom and Gomorrah. By the way, listen, many of us have been literally, who knows, but if we didn't drive right over the top of Sodom and Gomorrah on many of our Israel trips. The region has been identified out of the Bible. There's no doubt about it. The Bible says that Sodom and Gomorrah was just south of the great or the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea, there in the Jordan Rift Valley of Israel. What's interesting, and I'll just simply say this because I don't want to go down too many roads on this because it's still out there in research land, but there are areas south of the Dead Sea that you can see with your eyes, naked eye, you can see that the region, the soil looks different. And it's not just looks. When they sample the soil, they actually find out that from that area, the ground had experienced at one point in time levels of heat that other areas of all of Israel did not experience. And so scientists will say, right online, it must and could have only been from subterranean type of volcanic activity. I understand them explaining it away that way. God says, I have a different explanation as to how it's done. But why did it happen? You say, Jack, are you drawing a correlation between Sodom and Gomorrah and America? Yes. But expand it. I'm drawing a correlation between Sodom and Gomorrah and this world. The Bible tells us in Genesis 6, verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Is that true today? Did I tell you what we saw and heard at the border when we went about children being gutted and stuffed with drugs? And I didn't tell you that? If you think I'm exaggerating verse 5, I told you recently I took a group of pastors to tour the border and to have them report back to their churches. And I'm very proud of them, by the way. They're doing a great job. Did you know that since the building of already the wall plus the enforcement, they've seen a radical, dramatic drop of kidnapping in the regions south of our border? And there's been a decrease in child kidnapping in Mexico City. Direct correlation to the strengthening of the border control. Little kids were getting kidnapped. And the kids were being gutted and stuffed with all kinds of drugs and stuff, stitched back up, clothes put on, kid put in the back seat of a car that's commandeered about 20 to 30 miles south of the Mexican border, told by the parents, by these cartel, this package is in the back seat of your car, this kid, call him whatever name you want, but you just make sure you shut your mouth, you do exactly as you're told, get across the border, and on the other side, you'll be contacted. That's power. When you tell them, get into the United States, you'll be contacted. You'll be pulled over. Just put the, and they would put anywhere from babies to 5, 6, 7-year-olds in the back of a car, and the kids were completely dead, completely gutted and stuffed with crack, meth, you name it. Guess what? That's almost down to now zero. It stopped. Okay? Men were thinking evil continually in the days of Noah. I submit to you today, we must be close. He goes on, and that every intent and thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. Wow. And the Lord was sorry, grieved. The word is grieved. Grieved that he had made man on the earth. Isn't that one of the saddest things you've ever heard? Can you imagine turning and saying, I am so sorry and grieved that you're my kid? Can you imagine? God, who is all loving, for him to say this, man's evil. And he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth. I believe God said that with a tear. And so the global flood came. But here at Sodom and Gomorrah, something different. Let me give you the first slide, guys. Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you see out of the Dead Sea at the bottom, the south end? Do you see that black squiggly line coming out of there? I have no idea what that is. It's not a river, that's for sure. Because there is no river coming out of the Dead Sea. It could be, possibly, the dividing line between the nations of Jordan and Israel. But down around where that little line is at the south end of the Dead Sea, that's where the areas of Sodom and Gomorrah were. How do we know? Because it's well recorded in the Bible. These were cities and outlying cities as well that were very prosperous and very famous throughout the Old Testament time. It's not a joke. Next slide. It's a famous painting by, I believe it's Martin. You can see this. I think this is the one that is on display at the National Portrait Gallery, I think. But this is a very famous oil of Sodom and Gomorrah being consumed, ground opening up, fire from beneath, fire from above. God judged Sodom and Gomorrah and destroyed it. The Bible says he turned it into ashes. Don't try to be like this world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 4. We're so glad you joined us today. What You Really Need to Know, Part 4, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, have you been to our website lately? JackHibbs.com. It's got a brand new look with some real easy navigation. For instance, when you click on the Media tab, you'll find a wealth of options like Real Life TV, our Real Life radio broadcast, along with Pastor Jack's podcast called Real Life Talk. You'll also find Pastor Jack's current teachings, verse-by-verse Bible studies, and special messages, including Ask Pastor Jack, where he answers your Bible-related questions. Do you need to catch up on a particular Bible study like Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter? Simply hit that search icon. It's all there when you go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.